I encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, we're going to be continuing our study that we've been doing in the book of Matthew, and chapter 7 specifically, as our Lord finishes His Sermon on the Mount. I hope and pray that as we have progressed through this particular passage of Scripture, verses 13, 14, and then 15 through 20, that you get an understanding and an essence of what our Lord is sharing with these people as He shares the Sermon on the Mount, and specifically the need for transformation. That He is not just promoting another religion. That seems to be what many people approach the Sermon on the Mount. Well, this is an understanding and unfolding of the Jewish religion. That's not an understanding at all. What He is sharing with us is how heaven is going to operate, how His kingdom on earth is going to operate. It is going to be a kingdom of righteousness. It's going to be a kingdom where the Lord is honored and lifted up, and that those who come into His presence will know His power, His grace, His equity, His justice. All of these things are wrapped up in the Sermon on the Mount, and He makes it very clear that heaven is exclusive. I don't know that that is an accepted idea today, but that's what the Bible presents. It's exclusive. You only come by the way of the cross. There is no other way. There is no other door that allows you to go in. Now, this past week, an intruder went over the fence in front of the White House on Pennsylvania Avenue, 1600, came from that approach, went over the fence, made it all the way inside into the hallways of the White House. Now, he came in through an open door. Someone had forgotten to lock that particular door, and he made it all the way inside. He had a knife, and I don't know what he was planning on doing. Some say that he had some mental issues. But he didn't come in through the gate. He went in another way. And there's only one way that you can enter the kingdom of Jesus Christ, and that is through the narrow gate, which leads to the narrow way, which leads to righteousness. Now, we have spent much time on this passage of Scripture because it's probably the key theme of the book of Matthew. The narrow way, the way of the King. And so last time we began to look at the warning concerning those who congregate at the narrow gate and the narrow way and try to steer those who will listen away from the narrow way, not to enter into the narrow gate. Let's begin reading again at verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are what? Ravening wolves. All right? They're shysters. They are there to deceive, to swindle, is the word that's used there for ravenous. They're swindlers. Verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now, that's a statement of fact. He's making this very strong, lest anyone get confused, that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, and a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. In other words, acceptable fruit that can be identified and eaten. And spiritually speaking, it's talking about those who are bad. They cannot bring forth fruit that will allow them to be in God's presence in heaven. Not possible. Now, verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, I want to emphasize today, in the latter part of our message here, concerning this phrase that appears twice. We see it in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And we're told earlier in this passage that by their fruit ye shall know them. Now, God is teaching us here in this passage of Scripture that we're to be fruit inspectors. Fruit inspectors. We're to examine the fruit of those who speak to us claiming to be spokesmen for God. We are to check their fruit to make sure that they're legitimate. that they are who they say they are. By the way, the very name genuine, or the word integrity, has that idea. They are what they say they are. We are not to simply just take them at their word. We're to go to the next level, which is what? Inspect their fruit. Now, this ministry of the Christian is fallen on hard times. We are called critical. We're called all kinds of names. If we dare to ask any questions, if so-and-so says it, that means it's right. If it comes from this church, if it comes from that, it must be right. It may not be right. We have to check it. Your responsibility at Grace Bible Church is to check everything any preacher says from this pulpit. Myself, Pastor Watt, or any guest that we may have come speak from this pulpit, it's your responsibility to test and examine and to see whether what was shared from this pulpit is lining up with what? God's holy word. All right? If a tree advertises itself to be an apple tree, how do I know that's true? Well, in the springtime, I may be confused and not know that that's an apple tree. Someone might tell me, that's an apple tree. Well, it's got green leaves, but I don't know. So I wait till what? Fall. All right? Wait till fall. I remember many years ago, I traveled with Dr. and Mrs. Hobbs up to South Bend, Indiana for a teacher's convention, and we were coming back, and Dr. Hobbs said, we're going to stop and we're going to get some apples. It was my first time ever. All right, I was 28, 29, somewhere in that age group. My first time ever going to an apple orchard. I had never been to one, and I was just awestruck. I mean, they had all kinds of varieties of apples. They had Granny Smith. They had two or three other varieties, and Dr. Hobbs was looking for Macintosh. That was his favorite apple. He was looking for that. And so we went and got some apples, and it was just amazing to see that. And I could say with all authority that those trees were apple trees. Now, on what authority did I base that? Because I saw it with my own eyes, and I picked them with my own hands, and I took a bite out of one, and it was an apple. So that tree is an apple tree. Now, that tree cannot produce any other fruit. I could stand under that tree all spring, summertime, and wish that it would be pears. I love Bartlett pears. And I could wish, Lord, I want that tree to produce a Bartlett pear. Now, you know what? One of these days, the Bible tells about in the book of Revelation, there's going to be a tree that brings forth a different type of fruit every month. All right? That's God's tree. And God can do anything He wants to. But He's chosen now on this earth that apple trees only produce what? Apples. Now let's take it a step further. If the tree is not producing apples, what do? Well, you can wait for a period of time. You can go and fertilize that tree. Drive down some fertilizer stakes, or maybe dig up around the roots and put some good old-fashioned fertilizer out there, chicken manure or cow manure or something like that, and try to stimulate it where it will produce what it's supposed to produce. But what happens over time if that tree does not produce apples anymore? It should be cut down and destroyed and let another tree be put in its place that has the potential of what? Producing fruit. Now, that's what our Lord is saying here. He's making some very strong statements here. Let's bring it over into the area of practical Christian living. A person says, I'm a Christian. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's wonderful. Now what do we look for? Pastor Brandon, what do you mean? What do we look for? There will be a change. A person that knows Jesus Christ. Now this is being lost on the church today. This is completely being lost on the church today because we have put in place so many programs in the church to try to rehabilitate lost people. They said they're saved, so they must be saved. They just have these real problems in their life, and so we got to rehabilitate them. That is a wrong approach. I've said this many times before. That is a wrong approach. That's not the approach of Scripture. When the tree is changed, it produces the fruit that God says for it to produce. Do I hear an amen? That's what happens. God takes you from the kingdom of Satan. He uproots you, and He brings you over here to His kingdom, and He says, produce fruit for My glory. And that's what the trees do. That's what His trees do. They produce fruit. Now, if they don't produce fruit, something is wrong with the tree, not with God. Something is wrong with the tree. Now, the Bible does say that there is a sin unto death. For those that continue to go on their way stubbornly and refuse to do what God says to do, God will take them on home. Okay? Matter of fact, Paul said that of the church at Corinth. He said, there are many of you who sleep, not talking about falling asleep in church. He's talking about that they had left this earth. They had died. Why? Because he makes a direct link to what they were doing. They had made a mockery of the Lord's table. And because of making a mockery of the communion time and turning it into a big feast and festival and nothing having to do with remembering the Lord and all about us having fun, God said, I've taken some lives. I've taken some on to glory because they were abusing My table. They're supposed to be remembering Me, not themselves. So there is that, but there's also the possibility that they're lost, that they have not been transformed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we are to be watching. That's what God tells us to do here. Verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. And then He gives an example, makes it very clear so we can understand. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Now, we're to be watching. You go to a thorn bush. Do you go to a thorn bush and say, you know what, I'm going to go out and pick me some grapes today. I'm going to go to the thorn bush and get some. You're not going to find any. Because grapes don't grow on thorns. Now, there's a little bit of humor here. If you can get a hold of it. God uses humor sometimes to teach. I can imagine some that were listening that day said, yeah, that's ridiculous. Obviously, grapes don't grow on thorns. But did they make the connection with the lesson? All right? Did they get their Sunday school lesson? You don't go to a thorn bush and expect to find grapes. He even gives another one. Or do you go to a fig tree and expect thistles? All right? Dr. Hobbs planted years and years ago in his yard turkey, I think they're called brown turkey figs. All right? And those brown turkey figs are good. They're good eating. Aunt Carolyn makes fig preserves and all kinds of things that she picked from those things over the years. And you know what she expects from her brown turkey figs? Now get this. She expects figs. All right? Now she's never been surprised to go out there at bearing time and walked up to it and said, oh no, we've got thistles this year. We're not going to have brown turkey figs. We're going to have thistles. She's never done that. Why? Because they don't grow on a brown turkey fig tree. Brown turkey figs grow on brown turkey fig trees. Now the Lord is emphasizing here, what did He just say? He said to be watching. Ye shall know them by their what? Say it out loud. Fruits. We're to be fruit inspectors. He says it again in verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. We're to be watching for their fruit. Now we've been talking about these individuals that stand at the narrow gate. And they want to turn people away from the turnstile. You don't want to go down that road. That's narrow. That's a rough way. It's not smooth. Look how smooth this road is here. You come our way. And remember this, please, that the comparison between the narrow way and the broad way is not just heaven and hell. Now, we certainly can make that application. There are parallel roads that are pictured here. They both say signs to heaven. They also are right ways and wrong ways to do things on this earth. They're pictured as a right way and a wrong way to do things. The broad way is smoothly paved, and there's a lot of people going down there, and there are people that are standing outside the narrow gate, and they're saying, listen, you need to stay on this way. Don't go down this road. Look over there. You see how narrow and steep and rocky it is? You don't want to go there. Now, how am I going to know these kind of people? I've got to study their fruit. I've got to be, now get this, I've got to be engaged. I've got to have my mind and my heart engaged. Whatever will not work in the Christian life. Oh, whatever. You know, let's not plan anything, just whatever. All right? Isn't that nice? Can you imagine if we tried to operate this ministry according to that principle, just whatever? Or you tried to run your family on the whatever principle. Well, the bills came, well, whatever. Yep. Honey, the car payment came down, well, whatever. Hey, the power bill, hey, there's a truck out there in our front yard. It looks like he's got this long pole and he's, what do you think he's doing? He's coming over here to the house, he's going to pull the meter off. Whatever. Well, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. And yet we think somehow it will. Just whatever. God says whatever won't work. You've got to come His way or you'll go down the wrong way that leads to destruction. So, He said you're to be watching. We are to be watching. There are three things given in these remaining verses to watch for in regard to false prophets and false professors. And in our remaining time, I'm going to share these with you. After warning about false prophets, Jesus Christ tells us what to watch for. Isn't He wonderful? He tells you and I what to watch for. Now, not only do you watch for it, but you're to put it into application in your life. All right, so let's get that down first of all. Because there are deceptive and dangerous wolves, there are deceptive trees. These are pictures of the false teachers, the false prophets. The Lord gives three things to help us identify these ravening wolves. These wolves that would seek to destroy the flock of God. He assures us that we will know them by their fruits. A fruit tree may be beautiful. It may have decorative leaves and offer pleasant shade in the summertime. But its primary purpose is to not provide shade for you in a lawn chair. What's its purpose? Bring forth fruit. And that's what God has a purpose for you, Christian. He has a purpose for you. He didn't put you here on this earth to play. He didn't put you on this earth after He redeemed you so you could just go on your own way and we'll see you in heaven. Bye! That's not what He intended. He wants us to serve Him. And there are people, bad people in this world, who would steer us off the narrow way and put us back on the broad way and take us down that way that will lead us to destruction. So we better be aware. We better be watching. We better be paying attention. Or we're going to get steered off that path by people who are deceptive, they are treacherous, they are seductive. They will tease you. They will present things in such a way that sounds so good, but it will lead you down the broad way that leads to destruction. Number one, I want you to see that you're to look for character. Look for character. Isn't it sad today how character has diminished in our country? Well, we've come to expect our politicians to lie. That's just what we expect. We've come to expect. Now, shouldn't we have a higher standard than that? But today, so, well, they're just politicians, they're going to lie. And we just slough it off. Well, wait, shouldn't we demand more than that? Well, I guess not. I guess not in this world. But God has a higher standard. He says, look at their character. Notice this, please, in this passage of Scripture. He uses a comparison of good fruit, bad fruit, good trees, bad trees. Now, God is a right and wrong God. He's a good and evil God. All right? Remember the old westerns from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s? Black and whites. And the good guy always had a what? He had a white hat. Bad guy always dressed in black. Black Bart, you know? And you always knew the good guys from the bad guys. You never got confused. I mean, isn't that amazing? And you know, even the stories that were written had good guys and bad guys. But today, the stories that are being published today, you don't know who's good and who's bad, and there's an element of bad in everybody that's brought out. God separates that and clears up the thinking. There is good fruit. There is bad fruit. There are good men and there are bad men. Now, you can't get any clearer than that. God is telling us as we search people's characters that we're to keep our thinking straight. Alright? Don't muddle it up. Well, they're nice people. Well, that's a good thing. They're nice people. But you know, nice people are on their way to hell too. There are a lot of nice people in this world. And there are a lot of nice false prophets in this world. Oh, they're nice. They love to talk about how nice they are too. They like to get the cameras all set as they're going over to give food to some individual that's begging. They love to go overseas. These false teachers that are on Trinity Broadcasting Network. Yes, I said false teachers. There's a boatload of them. And they love to go overseas and they love to have the film crews. Isn't it interesting? They always have a film crew with them. Why do they need a film crew? Because they want you to know how nice they are. As they deceive the world and steal money from people who are willingly to write a check, put it in an envelope, send it off to somebody that saw on TV so they could use that money to go buy them a brand new car. All right? Now, they got their film crew, and then they have this poor, destitute person who doesn't know who they are. And they go up to him and they say, I want to give you something. Well, I've been touched. I've been so touched by seeing you here in your desperate condition. Is the camera angle right here? Oh, you need me on the other side? All right, let me do it on this side. All right, they get over here. Does this look better? Is this my good side? All right, good, let's go ahead. Oh, I'm so touched by the desperation of your condition. And blah, 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 blah. There's nothing to it. It's just empty words and empty lives. God says, watch for their character. There are good people and there are bad people. There is good fruit and there is bad fruit. And you need to be a judge. You need to start practicing God's law. You know, you heard about practicing law. Bill practices law, right? But I want you to practice God's law. He says, judge their character, because there are two types of people in this world. Well, we like to think up other types of people, but there's two types according to what Jesus says, good and evil. And you better be aware of that. Number two, what else does he say here? Study their convictions. Not only do you study their character, but study their convictions. Because of this principle that's given to us, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Knowing that principle from God's Word helps me to study the convictions of people. A conviction is what people say they believe. Right? What they say, now, do they back it up by actually carrying out those convictions? You study those people. People who have bad hearts will produce bad things. People that have good hearts, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, will produce good things. Study their convictions. What are your convictions this morning? Convictions are things that you would die for. Convictions are principles that are given to us from God's Word. They are things that should outline our lives. Convictions are the skeleton upon which our flesh hangs. They are the things that are important that God says are important. Like telling the truth. Don't talk to me about having convictions if you're lying. But don't tell me you have convictions about right if you have no personal desire to follow the laws of the land or to follow the laws of God's Word. Listen, your convictions will belie your life. What do you believe? Some people have church convictions that they put on for church and then they take those off and they put on their convictions for the rest of the week. I remember many, many years ago, about traveling by a church. And it looked like a smoke behind the church, like something was on fire, and it was all the men of the church outside smoking. It looked like a chimney coming out. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a problem with that. They've allowed a bad habit to dominate their life, and they can't even make it through God's church without having to do that. Now, I don't know their hearts. But it belies something. It belies something. Something's going on. Something is more dear. I can't live without it. Dr. Bob Sr. used to talk about that some men who have all kinds of character allow a little cigarette to sit up on their chest. That's where they keep their packs, you know. And sit on their chest and tell them what to do. It's time. Get up. Go outside. It's time to take a smoke. All right? Who's in charge? Think about that. Who's in charge? The nicotine habit is in charge. There should be nothing that comes between us and our Lord. Amen? Nothing. And we could go down a whole list of vices that should not be in the Christian's life. That's the broad way. That's the broad way that leads to destruction. Study their convictions. What do they believe? And how do they live? Do they live according to their convictions? Or are they living completely opposite of their convictions? If they're not living according to their convictions, something is wrong with the tree. Something is wrong with the tree. That's how you tell whether you've got a false prophet or a true prophet. There's a local pastor here in town that's been prophesying about the rapture now for 12 years, that we're in the middle of the rapture. He's got a mathematical problem. But he's still talking about it, still producing videos, still talking about it. And when you hear him on the radio, whenever he's on there, he's talking about himself all the time. Let me tell you, what does the Bible say about a prophet that prophesies wrongly? What are you supposed to do? Leave him alone. Want nothing to do with him. They're not telling the truth. You study their convictions. Study their convictions. Thirdly, study their converts. You ever thought about this? What is fruit? Fruit is the production of a tree. All of the work that goes into producing a fruit comes from that tree. The bringing up of nutrients from the soil, the bringing up of water from the soil, and then that going up into a branch, and then going out, and then that flower that was produced turns into that fruit that can be eaten, doing the bidding of God. That is the product. We could have used that word, study the product. But I'm putting it in a term where you can understand. Converts. Study the converts. Who are the people following after these false prophets? Who are they? Let me tell you something. People that follow false prophets are people who are linked emotionally, not spiritually. They're linked emotionally. Why do all these individuals have so much, have many followers? Benny Hinn. All right, he's on TBN, and he's got thousands and thousands of followers, and he's had television cameras following him for years, and he's been shown over and over again to be a swindler. And yet people still send him money. Study his converts. They're linked emotionally to him. They send their money, and they think that he is going to care about them. That he's actually going to know them and care about them. It was interesting. I've been watching the series on Roosevelt, the Roosevelt family. And last night, they were showing about after Franklin Delano Roosevelt died at Warm Springs, Georgia, surrounded by his women that he'd had affairs with, passed away. His body was put on a train, taken back to Washington. And as it was going to Washington to be prepared for its travel, they took him around to different locations where people could give their last regards. And there was a man that was sitting at the Warm Springs train depot, just weeping. He was weeping, and one of the reporters that was there said, "Sir, why are you weeping?" And he said, "Because Roosevelt knew me." Later it was discovered that the man had never talked to Roosevelt. He was emotionally linked with the president. He had been there at the Warm Springs depot many, many times, saw him get on and get off. Maybe Franklin Roosevelt had waved at him. He had come to believe that he knew him personally, but he had never met him. He had an emotional link with a person that he had never met, and he was moved to tears when the man died. Now that is a troubling thing, but that's how religion works. It's an emotional link. And you need to study the converts of the false teachers because it will tell you all you need to know about the false teacher. They are people that are not linked to God. They're linked to a human being. And a person that does not produce fruit for God is not linked to Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, "I want you to be watching," twice, verse 16 and verse 20. "By their fruits ye shall know them." You have to see them. You've got to study them. You got to look at their character. You got to look at their convictions, and you got to look at their converts. And if you are a student of the Word of God, you will know, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life, you will know whether they are true or whether they are false by studying them. Now, you and I, we need to be on our toes. We need to be careful these days. The airwaves, the internet is full. Do you believe everything on the internet? I hope not. Do you believe everything in the newspaper? Do you ever believe everything on cable television? You've got to weigh it. You've got to take it in and say, I don't know whether this is true. I'm going to have to study it on my own. One of the things from this Roosevelt series that I learned is that optics sometimes say a different story than what's really true. The people of the United States of America did not know that Franklin Delano Roosevelt had congestive heart failure and was dying while he was in office. They didn't know about all of his numerous affairs. There was an image that was given in the newspaper. The newspapers were told, don't tell anything about this. You know this, don't say anything about it, or we're going to do this, 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 and you. So they kept their mouth shut. An image was portrayed that wasn't real. And that's what the false teachers do. They stand outside the narrow gate and they present an image that is not true. They present an image of heaven down the end of the road. They present an image of glory and happiness and wonder and good things happening to you if you'll just follow after us. But they are a false picture. And they lead to what? Destruction. Remember again the portrait. I'm going to say this again. There are two roads. All right? These roads are going parallel to each other. One's smooth and nice. The other one is rough. The narrow way leads to life. It leads to Jesus Christ. The broad way promises heaven, promises Jesus, another Jesus. But down the road, there is this precipice. And all the people that travel the broad way are cast over the side and they go off the precipice into hell. The rest, those that know Jesus Christ, cross over the precipice over what? What is it? The cross. It's the cross that spans the precipice and carries us on to Him. Folks, don't ever forget what the Bible says about this. Not only are we to be wary, but we're to be watching. Because there are those that would steer. They would steer our children away from Jesus Christ. They would steer away our teenagers. They would steer away our friends and our family. And we have got to be spokesmen for the narrow gate and the narrow way that leadeth unto life. Let us pray. My precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the testimony of Your Word this morning. Lord, You've told us to be fruit inspectors. We're to be watching. We're to study the character of men who profess one thing, but maybe something very different. We're to study their convictions. We're to study their converts. I pray, Father, that You would help us as Christians to be engaged in this walk of life. There are some who are sidetracked. There are some who have gotten their eyes off Thee, Lord, and they've got their eyes on this world and what this world has to offer. That's the broad way that leads to destruction. Help us, Father, to travel down Your way. Not very many people on it. May seem to be a lonely road, but when we're walking with Thee, we're never lonely. We have Thee to comfort and to guide us. When our heart is weary, when our way is tough, we have Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, to walk with us every step of the way. Lord, I pray that You would use this message to challenge our hearts. And as we continue to study, Lord, these verses of Scripture, this passage, as we conclude the Sermon on the Mount, I pray that we might gather to our hearts the message, the primary emphasis of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would not be duped by the lies of the devil, but that we might walk in truth with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.